Thank you very much, operator. Good morning, good afternoon to all of you on the call. Thanks for joining the Q1 investor call of Lenzing AG. Quarter one, difficult market environment on viscose, very difficult, but overall, we feel a very good start into the year. Revenue was up by 1.8% at 560 million euro, and the major contributors were, on the one hand, that our specialty business continues to do very well, given the low viscose prices, and I think the very strong performance of specialties. The specialty ratio increased to 47.3% compared to a year before, some 5% less. FX helped, but also on the volume side, we were doing well. EBITDA came in at 92 million euro compared to around 102 million year before. Strategy execution of Scholten goes well. Our two flagship projects, the pulp site in Brazil and the lyocell expansion project in Thailand, are progressing well. A couple of more words later on the slides. We did open a new Tensile Design Center in Singapore to support emerging young fashion designers in Southeast Asia. We also announced the opening of an innovation center with University Hof in a cooperation that will be targeted for our nonwoven segment. Two steps that are, for us, important in our innovation drive. We also received some very nice awards for sustainable packaging with leading retailers in the DACH region, and at the shareholder meeting on the 17th of April of this year, the dividend proposal of the board and the supervisory board of 3 euros plus a special dividend of 2 euros per share was approved. Now let's dive a bit deeper into the market. Wood-based cellulosic fibers continue to outgrow the overall fiber market, in part driven by environmental performance, in part now also driven by availability, and because we don't see, both from the supply but also from the demand side, that cotton will grow stronger. We will have some 5%-6% annual growth for the next five years. Slightly higher than what we've seen in the last five years. We still remain very positive in the overall outlook. Our wood-based cellulosic specialties, we expect to continue in double-digit growth rate. Looking at cotton in particular, the current season actually is characterized by a very good harvest. In autumn 2018, we saw very good yields, good harvest coming in that led to slightly increase in inventory, despite, frankly, quite high consumption at around the 27 million ton mark. We did see, despite the strong consumption, inventories slightly going up. Cotton outlook for the next season, we expect a record high cotton consumption, slightly above the 27 million. I think together with an expected high production also there, slight increase in stock. Overall, I think a balanced positive picture, but due to an expected high production, we see that the cotton A index outlook is down versus this season by some 0.7 a pound. Looking at the Chinese viscose staple fiber market, quarter one was a very difficult quarter. We saw, after already low prices in the fourth quarter of last year, prices coming down to levels that we haven't seen for three years. Prices of 12,160 RMB a ton at the end of March were pretty much the low point. We then saw some recuperation of prices getting close to the 13,000 level, then easing off again now to around the 12,600 mark. Why? Because we saw, again, additional capacities coming on stream of some of the major producers, but also in March, we didn't see the uptake being so strong. Why typical after Chinese New Year behavior? I think we see this slightly different in the quarters to come. As a consequence, we did see quite a number of players reducing capacities, those with poorer cost position, and utilization rate in the industry dropped to 72%. If you recall, at the end of last year, we actually were still speaking of utilization rates above the 80% mark. Dissolving wood pulp, our main raw material, also eased from somewhere around the $930 mark to $878 per ton at the end of quarter one. And in the meanwhile, we saw prices even coming down to the level of $850 per ton. Second most important raw material, caustic. Still, prices remain high in Europe, but in April, we saw already the first signs of softening. Some €60 per ton prices did come down on the Harriman Index, and we are now around the €670 per ton spot market mark. I already said in my introduction, our specialty fiber business continues to do very well. So despite the strong decline on viscose prices and the declining cotton prices, we continue to have a very strong pricing performance in our specialty fibers, and the spread between those two fiber groups and our specialties continues to increase. Again, I think a very solid, high resilient performance in which we are very proud and which underpins the chosen strategy. A couple of words then before we deep dive into the financials on our two expansion projects. I just come from Thailand, just landed this morning. Our project progresses there very well. The preparation of the production site has started. we have the relevant approval of the authorities in place. The basic engineering is in plan. And I think in the next couple of weeks, we shall actually discuss with the supervisory board the approval of this project. In Brazil, also there, the project is progressing well. We had the public hearing. We had the environmental impact assessments, both of them successfully finished. Already mentioned, I think, last time that we secured the biomass, we secured the water, we secured the land. And as a consequence, we will also start there now with the ground leveling. I think, as mentioned before, here our schedule is that by the end of the second half of this year, we will take the final decision. Then, to the financials, over to you, Thomas.
Thank you very much, Stefan. Hello and welcome also from my side. Let me guide you through the most important financial KPIs for Q1 2019. And let me start with revenues there. Revenues came in with 560 million. That is an increase of almost 2% versus Q1 2018. Whilst the sales volume was basically flat, prices were up as a result of stronger FX rates, higher prices for our specialties, and we also saw another sales mix improvement. On the other side, of course, sales prices for commodity viscose were down by almost 11% in RMB. Our share of specialty fibers came in with 47.3%. That compares to 42.1% the year before, so actually very, very good development in this regard. Moving on to earnings and starting with EBITDA. EBITDA came in with 92 million compared to almost 102 million the year before. The decrease is caused by higher costs for materials and supplies due to stronger FX rates on the one side and higher salaries and wages on the other side. Of course, higher salaries and wages as a result of higher FTE and also, of course, wage inflation. Moving on to EBIT, actually EBIT came in with 54 million compared to 68.9 the year before. Besides the effects, that I mentioned before for EBITDA, actually what we also saw is an increase in depreciation. That is, of course, the result of the higher capex we saw in the last 2 years, but also due to the effect out of IFRS 16. Moving on to earnings and net profit. Actually, net profit actually came in with almost 43 million. That compares to 50 million the year before. In terms of earnings per share, we closed the quarter with 1.65 euro compared to 1.89 euro. So actually, net profit basically on a level that we saw in Q2 and Q3 in 2018. With regards to dividend, actually, it was already mentioned, actually, AGM approved our dividend proposal with 5 euros, consisting of a base dividend of 3 euros and a special dividend of 2 euros. With regards to the balance sheet, actually, net financial debt came in with 218 million compared to 219, so almost unchanged compared to year-end 2018. With regards to our equity, actually, our equity now stands at a record high of 1.6 billion euros and adjusted equity ratio is very close to 60%, so very solid balance sheet. Actually, very good starting point, actually, for the projects we have ahead of us. Last but not least, a couple of words on cash flow and trading working capital, actually on the gross cash flow, basically unchanged compared to last year. Free cash flow positive with 28 million, so I think also very solid performance in this regard. And with regards to trading working capital, as we saw in the quarters before, actually a level of around 400 to 440 million, so we are hovering around the same level as in the quarters before. So in total, from my side, I think a very solid start into fiscal year 2019. And with that, actually, I hand back to Stefan for the outlook.
Thank you very much, Thomas. So financially, a good start in a difficult market environment. Recap, I think, on the strategy execution. There are two major things that we're working on. The first one is the DWP project in Brazil, the Thailand Lifestyle project. Both of this decision will be taken in sort of the coming month. On the specialization side, we are working very hard on our second TensorLux pilot line that we will finalize by the end of this year, and the expansion of our Lenzing Ecovero production in China that is well on its way. Overall, and I think that is underpinned by the performance in the first quarter of this year, we reiterate that we feel comfortable with our 50% specialty share of revenue by next year in line with the targets that we have set ourselves. Now, again, just to remind ourselves on some of the fundamental challenges that we are facing at the moment, economic uncertainty, you all followed the recent news in the trade dispute China-US. It just underpins again how important those factors are. Because also the trade relation between U.S. and China have impact on the textile value chain in China. We saw this also last year already, and I think that will be with us for some time. On the viscose side, we did guide that we expect some 400 to 600,000 tons of net capacity additions this year. We underline that. At the same time, we see some capacity at least temporarily being taken out of the market. As a consequence, we also see utilization rates being overall in the industry low. There are no signs yet that these are permanent closures or permanent consolidation. I think some players are just waiting until cash margins again become positive. Caustic side, I already said that we expect Europe to come down. We see some silver lining on the horizon. However, compared to Asia, we are still very far off, and that's structurally at the moment hitting us more than it does our competition. On the other hand, in comparison at least to many other currencies, softer euro at the moment is helping us. It is helping us on the sales side. On the cost side, however, if you also look there into some more details in the lines, you see that there are the FX rates have a negative impact. Overall, however, positive. If we then take all of this together and look what to expect for the year, we reiterate our guidance for 2019 that given, I think, the current market environment, looking at exchange rate and extrapolating them, we expect 2019 to come in at around the same level as what we saw for 2018. With that, we would like to finish our elucidations and open up the line for questions. Operator, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to withdraw your question, you may press star followed by two. If you're using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selections. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. Please limit yourself to two questions only so that everyone has a chance to ask a question. Should there be time left, we can start a second Q&A session. One moment for the first question, please. The first question comes from the line of Matthias Pfeifenberger from DB. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Thanks for taking my questions. Firstly, I would like to talk a bit on China, now utilization dropping further. And my question is related to the low-cost players. How much do you think is their cost base lower compared to, let's say, the average? And obviously the falling costs, dissolving wood pulp and caustic help there. But also I read news that Sattery bought a mill for 250,000 tons of standard viscose that was out of the market for like 9 months. So is there just more risk of continued high capacity expansion from the low-cost players? And then the second question on the specialty pricing. Now, the chart you're showing, obviously very impressive, is showing a six-month average. So can we assume that you're basically at the moment maxed out, or that the specialty pricing has plateaued a bit, given the slope of this specialties line there? Thanks.
Okay. Mr. Pfeifenberger, question one on China. We indeed see at the moment that capacity utilization is dropping with at least temporary line closures of some of the lower end players in the cost curve. The viscose cost curve overall is for most part a relatively flat cost curve. The differences on viscose in itself are not tremendously high because it's a relatively mature technology. A lot of that depends on your level of integration, as I think you rightly point out with your question. Now, and then I think it comes to the point of how players judge the raw materials. Indeed, I think if you look at players like Sattery on the pulp side, if you look like a Tangshan who is caustic back integrated, Lenzing, who is at least in a major part pulp integrated. If we speak of cash cost break even, we always speak of those parts of the market that need to buy pulp and caustic on the merchant market. And I think that the rest, I think, is then highly dependent on which player you look at in detail. If you look at an integrated player until he sort of more or less on a wood plus electricity plus labor basis loses cash, you could be having a lot of fantasy on how far the price could go down. However, we haven't seen this in history yet because there is still the majority of the market needs to buy that. And that is also our current conviction that we are at least, if you rationally look at your economics, we are at the level where you couldn't see it going down substantially more. But we have seen also in history unreasonable pricing behavior for some time. But if you just look at the recent development, prices coming down to 12,200, where it was clearly for most of them in negative cash territory, coming back up to 12,1800, now going down a bit. So I think that also indicates that despite high overcapacity, we are at the moment in at least an area where one would say this is... It smells like a bottom, but I don't want to make the mistake of saying everybody is following the same rationale.
Yeah, because what I'm getting at is basically when I talked to Stephanie, she told me that the Chinese government kind of tried to tame some of these low-cost suppliers and to not destroy the pricing structure too much and to be too aggressive. And then I read about the new mill that Sattery has just bought and that they will obviously bring back into the market, and there's only a full go with regards to a 250,000 tons mill. So that's my point. in terms of is there more pressure? Can the utilization drop even further?
I wouldn't exclude that the utilization might drop further because also new capacity will come on stream.
Mm-hmm.
That some of our competitors are active consolidators, that is the case. Now, how they, let's say, what will be the let's say, what does this step mean versus some of the initial announcements? I think that is something you would need to discuss with RGE Group or SAT3. We are not privy to this information. I think that the sort of the news that China influences players, I would always take this with a certain amount of cautiousness. I've lived in China many years. I think the, sort of the sentiment that the government gets involved in a, in an industry like viscose, you need to see very local. And I don't think that you should get overly sort of this is a big China game against others that I would be cautious about.
Okay.
And with respect to the specialty prices, we indeed use 6 months average because we also want to make sure that we take out sort of customer mix issues and sort of just certain spike. That's why I think it is a reasonable proxy. At the moment, we are still increasing in certain areas our prices. However, we are indeed cautious on how aggressive we would like to do that. Because if you look at the delta between viscose and specialties, if you look at the delta between cotton and the outlook of cotton, I think we are also well advised not to overdo it. We always said we want to wait how our customers are able to pass on price increases, and I think now it's a good time to be a bit more cautious.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Just a housekeeping. In the release, you call the standard viscose market, in English, you call it tight. Yeah. Now, as we understand tight, it's like where supply is constrained and prices go up. I know that you didn't mean that.
I take the point. I will look at the press release. Thanks for highlighting this one.
Thanks a lot.
As a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your touch-tone telephone. The next question comes from the line of Sebastian Bray from Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everybody, and thank you for taking my questions. I would have two, please. The first technical, the second strategic. The first is on tax rate. Can I just, I'm trying to understand what exactly was driving the higher than expected result at EPS. Were there any, apologies, I wasn't dialed into the first part of the call, but were there any reasons why tax in Q1 might be lower than it could be for the rest of the year, or was there something going on in financial items? That's my first question. And my second is something on specialty fibers. It looks as if the viscose industry is becoming less attractive to add new capacity to because of lower prices. And at the Capital Markets Day in late 2015, I think it was stated that new entrants were expected to the lyocell market, but this hasn't materialized. Why, in your view, is this, and do you still expect new entrants within the next few years to this market? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bray. Thomas, maybe the first question to you, and then I answer the second one.
On the tax rate, actually, the answer is fairly easy. It is highly depending on the FX rates, especially for our location in for our site in Indonesia. So that is heavily impacting, actually, or having a heavy impact on our tax rate.
Well,
there's no other special reason.
With respect to the specialty fiber capacities, we indeed said in 2015 that in the next 5 years we expect our lyocell competitors sort of to have made major inroads. Happens, but happens at a slower pace than what we anticipated, but we still reiterate this will come. Our total fight on making sure that our ingredient brand gets stronger established, making sure that we proliferate the amount of shopkeeping units in our total lyocell portfolio, making sure that we continue to innovate and come with new specialty grades, that we can bring different value to different segments in the market, are important ingredients in our strategy to be prepared when more capacity will come, and it will come. However, they are luckily for us quite a bit later, but it will come. I think it's too attractive an industry, and China and Asia has cracked different nuts than a fiber. If you look at high-speed train, at aircraft carriers, and so forth, so they will come. However, we are confident that we are doing the right thing strategically to be well prepared.
So, just to probe the comment, they will come. Does this mean that you are aware of capacity expansions ongoing in the market, or is that you just think the economics are so irresistibly attractive that the competitors that are currently running pilot plants or have lab work will scale up? Or...
No, we are aware. There are today already three Chinese companies who offer LyoCell, however, at the moment more on the 15,000-ton scale. We are also aware that in India, Bela has commissioned a line end of last year at capacity of around the 20,000-ton level. And our expectation is that this will proliferate, that companies will start to copy those lines, and that we will see in China capacity in the future. But those capacities that I mentioned, they are there for quite a while. But we also expect that, as we saw in other industries, that over time those players will expand the capacities to. But there are today already players out there.
All right. Thank you very much.
The next question comes from the line of Laura Lopez from Bader Bank. Please go ahead.
Good morning. I have two questions, or three. And so the first one is, can you give us an update on how the Ecovero brand is evolving? And secondly, maybe it's also a little bit related to that, with the acquisition of the remaining 30% of your Chinese operations, you planned, or you also mentioned that in prior conferences, that you plan to improve this plant. Can you tell us how your plans are going with these Chinese capacities? And are you already improving some of these capacities or increasing, adding specialty fiber capacities there? Or what is the plan and a little bit on the timeline with that? And then one regarding the interest expense, this one was also significantly lower compared to last year. Is this something we can, is there like a change there or something special happened? Or is this like a run rate that we can take for the remaining part of the year? Thank you.
Okay, Ms. Lopez, the first one on Ecovero, we have finalized our stepwise upgrade of lines in China already, so we now can produce Ecovero both at our site in Austria as well as our site in China. The Ecovero brand is progressing very well. However, contrary to Tencel, in Ecovero we don't use pricing that is just a fixed price. It is a premium of around 15%, sometimes a bit lower, sometimes a bit higher, versus viscose, so this breathes up and down with viscose. But we are very pleased with that. So far, all the Ecovero sales that we are booking are going hand-in-hand with co-branding agreements, so that the brand is also taken well up. And specifically in South Asia, we see the program being very, very successful. Now, with respect to our specialty expansion plans in our Nanjing site, next to Ecovero, we are also evaluating other specialty upgrades. The details of that we will announce when we then made the final decisions, but some of that you should still expect at the end of this year. Maybe to interest?
With regards to interest expense, actually, I mean, at the end of the day, interest expense should be a function of net financial debt and the interest rate, as interest rates are very low now, of course. I think it goes without saying that interest expense is also fairly small, and all the other fluctuations, there is quite also some impact out of FX. So that is nothing, I think, that should irritate you.
Okay, thank you very much.
As a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your touchtone telephone.
Okay, as there are no further questions in the call, we would like to thank everybody for joining our call. Wish you a good day and talk to you soon. Thank you very much.
Thank you.